was pracht na bis alle. Wenn ihr mei hat bin, ihr mei hat achmin, war er Rosh Hashone, a Yom Kippur, a Seret Zimik Shule, there are still some Jews around. Tut Sandor, as I'm in self. There are a lot of things about which to speak in reference to this period of the year. Some perhaps would be interested in hearing Musa in various areas where we are remiss, in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. I leave that for some other time. I prefer tonight not to speak on such a topic. I would rather speak to you about something which to me is of more importance than that. And perhaps if we will realize what we are talking about tonight, then the other matters that perhaps people would like to have discussed will automatically be solved. We say in Krishna, Birkas HaKrishna, tonight, every night, Krishna Shalavis, the second bracha of Ave, Ave Shalom, we mention there the Torah and Mitzvahs, Hein Chayenu V'Oirech Yomein. They are our life and the length of our days. In other words, the Torah Jew feels that what is his lifeblood? You ask someone else what his lifeblood is, you tell you the blood that runs through your veins, that's your lifeblood. If you don't have that, you can't continue. And the Jew says, no, that isn't the lifeblood of a Jew. That's lifeblood for an animal also, not only for a human being. What is our lifeblood? In what way is our life as humans, and not only as humans, as B'nai Yisroel, after the Chatonu people? What creates our life? What differentiates it from the animal world? What makes us human? This is our lifeblood. Torah and mitzvahs. Nosia, if you can. Therefore, we are continually engaged in siach. Siach is the same. Speaking of Torah and in Torah. Sicho b'Torah, sicho b'mitzvah. In discussing Torah Hashem, the most important thing that a person is interested in discussing is that which controls his life. What is our life? Hein chayenu, v'yirech domenu. Therefore, nosiach b'chukecho. We are engaged continually in speaking Torah. Thinking Torah is not sufficient. All the thoughts in the Torah world must be brought forth and expressed through the power of speech. Nosiach b'chukecho. Hashem Yisborach created the human individual, Odom. Vayipach ba'apo nishmat chayim. He put into him a neshama, a soul. Vayihiho Odom v'nefesh chayo. A living being. In what sense? Unkele says, Nefesh Chayo Ruach Memalo. An individual, a creature. creature who is endowed with the power of speech. In this is the human being different from the animal world. All else was created before the creation of man. Man was the final creature to be created. And he had within him this elevation of soul of Ruach Memalo, the power of speech. If this is what makes man the power of speech, so he has to guard this power, that it shouldn't become animalized. Nosiach v'fukefo. If the power of speech is used for this high purpose, then you are a human being. Then you are what Hashem Yisborach wanted to make man for. If not, what do we need you in this world? These are psukim. I'm not telling you droshes, my thoughts, what I think about these things. These are psukim in the Torah. This is what Torah teaches us. Is of mitzvahs and yidishe kindalos. This is what I'm telling you, says Hashem Yisborach. If you look at it from that angle, that when a person uses his power of speech, not in this manner, when you look at it from this angle, that this is the difference between the animal and the Ben Yisroel, what would we do if a person were seen all of a sudden puncturing his life vein and drawing forth his blood? What is wrong with you? You're committing suicide. What would we do if we saw a person approach someone else and puncture his life vein? He's losing his blood. You're a murderer. What are we to say when we see a human being, a Ben Yisroel, wagging his tongue in wasted talk and conversation, let alone the Lashon Hara, forget about that, but very daily, spending the power, expending the power of speech in wasted talk, involving the will. You're killing yourself. You're committing suicide. And look what you're doing to this thieves. Then you see a fellow is learning. A fellow is davening. A fellow is listening to Kriyas HaTehillim. And a good friend goes over to him and disturbs him and starts to wag his tongue also about very, very important matters in Shaykh Levi. What are you doing? Murder! He's engaged in Torah. He's engaged in living. He's engaged in the power and the pleasure of what it means to be a Nishmas Chayim, a Ruach Memalo. What are you doing to it? You're using that power for nothing. You're wasting such a beautiful, beautiful commodity, power of speech. You're murdering me. Do we think in such terms? When we waste, not minutes, but hours in empty talk, do we ever stop to think, devolving the wealth, the cadence of it? Never. Never. Many times we call it relaxation. Find a relaxation. A person works hard and he has to relax. So he decides he's going to kill himself for 3 hours. You have a relaxation machine. Then I jot up nothing up here. I get up that nothing up here. Relaxation means also to use all your powers for proper needs. But who ever heard of relaxation being stop living for 3 hours? I jot up sugar that nothing up here. And that's what we are. That's what we're doing with ourselves. Imagine. The Gron, Zichrona Livroche, made a Cheshma Nefesh once. The Ari Shelio brings this. For Rosh Hashanah, he went through his year. And he found that he's remiss 6 minutes in the year Beetle played, in which he had not been engaged in Torah. Torah does not necessarily mean that he was looking at the Gemara and trying to understand the mitzvah. All the interest of mitzvah, all the interest of value for a Jew in life, that's Torah. He found 6 minutes in which he was not engaged in Torah. Let us begin to learn from this how the Gaon thought of this commodity called time. How he spent his time. The most precious of all commodities is time. A minute lost is lost forever. You lose a million, you make it back. You lose diamonds, you'll get others to replace it. You lose 1 minute, gone forever, never to come back. It's the most precious of all commodities. How careful must one be in counting every minute of life? And that's the way to go and live. Just think a hesitant for yourself. 365 days in a year. Every day, 24 hours. Every hour, 60 minutes. Count up how many minutes in a year. And the girl knew how many minutes and had them down pat. And he saw before himself, before Rosh Hashanah, 6 minutes were wasted. For those 6 minutes he wept to chew it. Where do we stand when we hear such a thing? Do we know how many minutes we waste? Not in a year, not in a month, not in a week. Are we aware of how many minutes we waste in a day? Not in 24 hours, but in 1 day. Before we go to bed, how many minutes were wasted by us to no purpose whatsoever? We didn't expend them in a profitable manner. Everything with us, we live in a world where everything is automatic. Time, sure, time is there. You never stop to think. Time is one of the creations of Hashem Yisborach. He himself is above time. Far above time. Hashem Yisborach created a world, a creation. And one of the commodities created in this creation is the commodity of time. Zman, Otabasha. And he wants it to be used for our benefit. Are we aware of it? Is this the way we have lived throughout a year? When we come in Rosh Hashanah to him, Yisborach, what are we going to bring there to him of the time of the past year? What are we going to tell him? Look at the Rebbeinu Shalilo. Look how we took care of this commodity. Is that what we're going to tell him? Either we don't know what it's all about, so we'll tell him nothing. If we do know, we're going to be terribly ashamed to tell him. And I'm not talking to you, gentlemen. I'm talking to myself. But I hope you don't mind if you hear what I'm telling myself. This is the way we live today. from absolute sensation. Was his sight? Was his amenus? If we did, every time we were engaged in something that's valueless, we would stop immediately. Give up and taking diamonds and throwing them into the sea. But we never think about these things. He's up in the sea, he's showing Timurutas Hasus. Just like a horse is running. He has no concept of thinking where he's running. I like the field. We are also Zukun Silishishorim the same. Ferdishitep and Ferdishitepo. Malay! Worthless. Show me. What have you done? What have you created in a year? What value has been brought forth in a year of living? Do we ever think about these things? When we come in Rosh Hashanah, is this what bothers us when we stand before Hashem Yisborah? Or are we bothered merely to pray to Him, tapping Him, Ibn Zanayim Yorah Kutyo, with Hashiris, with Achashkundi Kindel, with Alpitazah? To that extent, we're my meaning. That if not for Him, we wouldn't have it. But are we thinking about what we did with all this Nachas that He gave us in the past year? How did we expend it? Do we mean to expend it the same way in the coming year? Or those same in a bitten? These are things that have to bother us. And the Lord, He said this long ago. This is the nature of man. Mitzvah Hashem becomes with him, and mitzvah Sandoshim Ulubmodim. It's something that happens of itself. It's something that I become accustomed to and I do it. I put on tefillin because I'm accustomed to putting on tefillin. When I don them in the morning, do I think, what am I now engaged in? What am I doing when I bind it around my arm? When I place it upon my head? Put on your crown of beauty. Do we then think when we put on the tefillin, all the Christmas lights and gifts and shirts and that and things like that, in hell, all of the tefillin, cover up? No. Under a Danish shilling of houses, though. So how merciful indeed is He? But the God shining it out. What does a father do to a child? If he acts that way, in putting on his tefillin on the first day of his bar mitzvah. Was it us? We do it every day throughout our lifetime. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo Fraske tells me, and the Rachmona Shafunz, and Avar, still has some time. Maybe tomorrow you'll be better. We would think along these lines. How different we would become. How different we would become. The world is shy of today. It's beyond imagination. What this alone would do to us. So that's why I tell you, I begin to think and give ourselves, Musa, we went remiss in this mitzvah, we went remiss in not even knowing who are we? What are we? We don't get thought. There's where we're remiss. And we won't get trapped. For signing here, we may believe ourselves that we wouldn't be going to remiss in Shmira Samitris. Yes, it could happen. But the whole concept of living would be a complete But the way we live from day to day, and we call it living. Next week is going to be the sleepest day in Rosh Hashanah. So, what's it going to be? As the sleepest. Midnight. Used to, every year. That's the way it works. And the sleepest period starts. It means we've gone remiss and we're asking for forgiveness. Do we feel that we've done something that calls for forgiveness? Do we feel that we haven't used time properly? Do we feel what is the gift of life that Hashem Yisborach has given to us? And how have we used that gift? Do we feel that? So beyond all else, before we begin thinking of the whole Al-Khef that we say on Yom Kippur, this great Al-Khef, life itself, Rebbeinu Shel-Olam, just look down and see how we haven't used it properly, how we haven't expended it properly, how we've wasted the most precious of all commodities, we've wasted time. And when we've seen others who do use it properly, how many times have we disturbed them? So we have actually committed murder against these people. We have disturbed them from what to them is a recognition of what life really means. These are thoughts that should strike us at this time of year. Rosh Chodesh, we blew shofar. That shofar is the shofar Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael blew when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul to receive the second Brachos after that terrible, terrible sin and crime after the first Brachos of the Pesel. After that crime, Hashem Yisborach, with his forgiveness, with his rachmin, hearkened to the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu, who prayed with Mesiras Nefesh that they be forgiven. And he was told to come up and he'd be given the second Lufus, nowhere near what the first ones were. That you lost. That opportunity is gone. You'll have to wait for Mashiach to came from it. But I won't renounce you altogether. So he comes up for the second Lufus. But we have to remember what happened when he went up and disappeared for the first. The eagle. So Klal Yisroel, the Bezdin, blew a shofar. And they were machlis, they called forth throughout the entire community of the Midbar. Moshe Ol Elihor. Be aware of the fact he hasn't disappeared. He's gone up to the hall to see the benefits of the Rachmei Hashem. And upon that shofar, the Navi says, Ayitokashu for me, Yohom lo yechrodu. Is it possible to hear the sound of the shofar and you should be not be overtaken by fear? When Klal Yisrael heard that shofar, they became aware of what is now coming to pass. And there didn't emerge an eagle from this Aliyah Lahore. And we continue that whole shofar, the Torah tells us, straight through Elul day after day. From one day to another, we may forget. That's the weakness of humankind. Yesterday was you took a shofar of the Omlo Yatrogu. No, it's not it. You see that? You shiver from fear. The next day you don't hear the shofar. He said, now it's fine, good. Everything's okay. Lost the last week, no shofar. You continue throughout the Elul. Then you stop before Rosh Hashanah for one day. Because tomorrow is going to be another shofar. This was a shofar as a remembrance of that shofar Bamidbar. There's no mitzvah written in the Torah to blow that shofar. But we do ourselves the favor, the chesed, of blowing that shofar. But lest you think that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is that same shofar, no, stop one day. But tomorrow on Rosh Hashanah, then be the kind of mitzvah of Tiyas shofar. And what does the Rambam say in the Rosh Hashanah Digin Shofar? Remet Yeshbe. We do not know the reasons for God's mitzvahs. All the reasons that we give are only meant to make it more palatable for us. We who don't understand the wishes of the Almighty. And when we give a time, what we in English usually call a reason, or let us say a taste of a mitzvah, a time of the mitzvah, that's far lower than the Rabbi Shalom's reasons to mitzvahs. We can't grasp that, we can't reach to it. Rambam says, even though Kiyas Shofar is Gzeira min Hashamayim, the Rabbi Shalom's mitzvah, it's a Gzeira whether we understand it or not, and we don't understand why. But Remes Yishvedor, there is something for us to learn in this. And he speaks beautifully about us in this world who spend our days and our time behavli atman in the foolishness of what goes on throughout time, day and night. An entire year we've been spending our time in these avolim. The Shofar comes to remind us, this is what you've been doing with time. Stop it! You're expending the most important of commodities in the most foolish of ways. Understand that you're called by the Shofar to stand before Hashem Yisborach, the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. So the Rebbeinu Shalom is well aware of our weaknesses. And because he's so aware of it, he's Molei Rachmi, full of mercy. And this repeats itself year after year. We cannot say that it makes no impression upon us, hospitable. We can't even begin to imagine how deep the impression is year after year. Another harodet, let our hearts move year after year. Now that keeps up for a lifetime. We can't even imagine what we would have been if not for these harodets of every Rosh Hashanah. This is the mercy of Hashem Yisburah. Year after year, arouse and make this reckoning of what life has meant for you, how you have expended it, what you've done with it, and what you intend to do with it further from now on. When you live that way, there's always the hope that maybe, maybe, I will arrive at a time when I will be able to view life through the perspective of the Vilna Gaon, who measured and counted every moment of living to an extent to be able, erev Rosh Hashanah, to say that 6 minutes were not used properly. All the rest of his time was used for the purpose designated by Hashem Yisborach for us, B'nai Yisroel. There's always that hope. Perhaps we'll arrive at that stage. These are the things that should be bothering us at this time of the year. When that will be taken care of, then we can begin thinking about al chetshech otonu lefenecho, this chet and that chet and all the other chetot. But the first thing, Aroiskriechen von Grub, so von Aroiskriechen. To be down in the depths and to think there about how many chatoim I have. But what are you going to get out of the ditch? Come back. Once you're out, then you begin to think, what did I do to put myself into those depths? Then you say, I'll take you for total forgiveness. You come to your people. You've gone through the Dovi, Hashem Oiri, you've taken yourself out of the darkness of those depths, and you've seen the light. Now you're ready. From the perspective of the light of Rosh Hashanah, which shines upon us, we are able then to approach life, to see things. But as long as I'm there in that deep pit, in the darkness of the pit, I'll be wasting my time if I'll think then I'll hate you for total of the little. I don't even know what hate is. I don't see it. I have no perspective of it. First, I'm going to lift myself from the pit and begin to see the light. Hashem Uri, Zeru Shashor. Then from there there will follow Yishi, Zeyimakipuri. And what will in Yeshua be? Because once I have the perspective of light, and if that light, I feel the head now, and I beg of you, the outful of the Kasalifis. But Rosh Hashanah, impossible to speak about that. We're not ready for that. These are thoughts that should bother us at this time of year. There's a mitzvah in Torah. We say it every day in Kriya Shema. We are commanded to study Torah and to perform mitzvahs. Your whole power of speech shall be used for them. Every time you use the power of speech, it has to be for the purpose of Torah and of mitzvahs, for no other purpose. And the Gemara says, every time you use the power of speech, not for bom, so you're either the mitzvah sasei or the dibar to bom. So it's an aveira. But you know, my friends, there's more to that in the posuk than the aveira alone. There is a piece of advice that Hashem Yisborach has given us. Do you want to keep away from dwelling failing? Do you want to guard yourself from expending time and speech on foolishness, on havli atnan? You have a wonderful asset. V'dibar tovom, use it for Torah. If you will accustom yourself to using the power of speech for that for which speech was ordained, you will never have one faith. Why are we engaged in one faith? Favos puster in the other field. Favos hook the tight to make the sonnet. Why? When we call it, oh, it's only joking. Favos hook the tight up in the natural. Because we're not aware, we're not conscious of the debate of both. So we think we're doing big things. But if we would create within ourselves a consciousness of the debate of bom, we wouldn't have the time for Dvorim Teilim. Gevalt in the world, how can I talk Narishkeit when I could in this very moment now be saying a Dvorim Teilim? I could say a Aloche. What not? All these treasures of our great treasure store of Torah and Mitzvahs. You should for a few minutes and look what I've done. Never would a Jew engage in foreign faith. Even if it isn't Russian Torah. Even if it isn't Matthias. What a failure! It's thousands of them. How can I afford a thing like that? And then you begin to think, was it only foreign faith? Was it only empty talk? Or did I murder people with my talk? I didn't shoot people. I didn't shoot anyone. I didn't stick a knife into his heart. But he slandered him. He spoke ill about him. That is murder. You killed the person unwittingly, thinking that you did nothing. You know this. You always tell him. I didn't do anything, I always said it. I do nothing, and you only said it. But saying such a thing, you're committing an act, crime, killing people with the power of your tongue. So when you start off with God in faith, you don't build in yourself a consciousness for what speech has to be used. Ultimately, it will always turn into Lashon Hara. To the extent that Chazal teaches, don't speak too many phrases of your friend. Phrases? It's the nature of a human being. If you wouldn't be engaged in the Shvach, so you're not talking about him, so you have to mention that in this and this he didn't do well. Now, if we begin to examine ourselves in that light, so the about happens, what have we done with ourselves during the past year? What have we done with ourselves? How much is more failing that ultimately led to Lashon Hara, to the Chilas, to Simas Achim, creating hatred among Jews? And that's what we see throughout the world today. There was never a period in Jewish history like the one we live now in. That to me is one of the proofs that Mashiach is about to come, because it would be terrible if not. We always have chilukei days. We have differences of opinion. There's nothing wrong with differences of opinion. Eilu ve'eilu. Divrei Elokim Chayim. There were differences of opinion between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Meir, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, down through the ages. Eilu ve'eilu. Divrei Elokim Chayim. But that's chilukei days within the framework of Torah. That brought forth love for each other, as the Gemara itself says, in reference to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Such chilukei days. Chilukei days, as Chazal say, reach an extent where Nachshu Ke'oyavim, they become like enemies to each other, B'Milchamto Shel Torah. And this enmity of Milchamto Shel Torah creates the greatest love for one another. Chilukei days has never destroyed Chazal Yisrael. Today we don't have Chilukei days. They call it today Pilugei Deis. Jews are divided among themselves. Not Mechulot, divided. Pilugei Deis. Hatred. We pick up papers from Eretz Yisrael today. I stopped bringing it into the house. Smolei v'tsine tachi. Ufum frume. Ufum tzaditi. What the other word is, great kedushot,
Hold me short against it. Takshat, takshat, takshat. Pull the papers.
Full of douche and full of shinasah. Never in Jewish history have we ever lived through such a terrible period. Why is this? Because we have lost sight completely of the devout of God. Why write articles and placards talking about Narishkeiten? Engage in prayer. Engage in prayer study. Engage in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. You won't have any time to write these articles and to act like a fool. Never, never in Jewish history have we gone through such a terrible period as we are now going through. And there's no question in my mind that the Rebbe Yishlam is not going to permit this to continue. And I guess that he's going to bring Mashiach. Because without Mashiach, all I see is that from day to day, it's becoming worse, not becoming better. Yeshivas occupied in this business, in this foolishness. Instead of the Devar Tavon, that's now written at the street, for raising the politics to speech for. Well, that's the battles that are in politics. Look at the things, don't worry about the politics. You worry about understanding that history, understanding the Rashi, the Kumcha Blat Gimore, Adaf Yemi. You waste them before you sit down to the block, and the first thing you got to discuss is the new government in Israel. And when you're finished with the block, you got to continue discussing the new government in Israel. Why? What a waste of time. You're not going to create the premier, and you're not going to make him leave the premiership. Wouldn't it be better, before you sit down to the block, to attune yourself without listen to a black minority. What is a black minority? Did you ever stop to think? What means this Lebanon to you? A dialogue with Hashem Yisburah. You're not listening to the Rebbe who's saying the black. He's only channeling to you Hashem Yisburah's speech. If he's a Rebbe that can't do it, then you have to get rid of him. Imarav David Malach Hashem Shlokin. Malach is a messenger. If the Rebbe is a messenger of the Almighty, have a Torah this season. Go seek Torah. You know why? He's only the Shliach. What you hear from him is God's word. And when you ask a question, you're not talking to him, you're talking to the Almighty. Where can you have such a privilege? A dialogue with Hashem Yisburah. And that's totally. So if we would realize this, and every time we come in for the block, the Dafyemi, before we sit down to begin the learning, we could put the mind, we have the ability to start off with Narishkeit. Would that be possible? And if after we finish the block, if we feel that we have conversed with him, we've had a dialogue with him, would we have the power right after the block is over to say that Loshon Hara of, to my friend, the next door neighbor, you know, yesterday the lady set the block better. That's Loshon Hara. That's Loshon Hara. Would we say that if we felt that we weren't just listening to a human being? Through him, we were listening to Hashem Yisborach's voice, who was teaching us his story. How lucky we then be! We then begin to understand what is that yin. We then begin to understand what is a daily kriyas in learning. And maybe then when one has a daily kriyas of an hour, he becomes so overwhelmed, I want another hour. And from another hour, it'd be 3 hours. Who said that he is learning of a balabos is only an hour a day? You can have it 3 and 4 hours also and succeed better in your business that way. No question about it. Why not try it?
see if my prescription will work or will not work. And the best of the prescription is that it will be saved from the poison of worried faith. Speech won't be intermixed with that poison of worried faith. The best thing in the world. And there will follow all the other blessings from that. These are things that we have to keep in mind. And when we shall so do, we'll begin to feel yet another thing. In Tshuva, repentance, the Rambam says, all the mitzvahs of Torah, Sheyas Tshuva, Yoshu, Nishetari, Chayov Nishvadois, he has to express his guilt, his vidud, his nehakeil voruchu, before the Almighty. What does this mean, lifnei hakeil? Express lifnei hakeil. You say, chotos. What is the concept of lifnei hakeil before him? In Prussian state, lifonecho. Before him, what does that mean? Vidui and tshuva are of value if we realize to whom we are talking. We have to have a concept that we're standing in his presence. Then the tshuva is a tshuva. But if we don't begin to feel that we're standing in the presence of Hashem Yisborach, it's not a vidui and it's not a tshuva. It's just empty words. Ni davnen to see them, no zogun to see them. And all that's demanded of us is this small thing. When you begin to pray, when you begin to say vidui, when you begin to be about tshuva, attune yourself. With whom am I dealing? Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a completely different picture. A completely different world. Just one final word. The Gemara tells us that when Sanhedrin Melech Asher was on the verge of conquering Yerushalayim, Yishkiyahu HaMelech, what's to be done? Mizetim Churban Fagiei, what can we do? The Gemara tells us a most interesting thing, and the Gemara explains this in one of the Pshutim in Tanakh, but this is what the Pshutim means. Noach Cheren V'Veish HaMedesh, the Peace Fishel V'Veish HaMedesh, Chizkiyahu HaMelech said, here Sanhedrin stands with his great army with which he has conquered an entire world. And we are the last one that he's attacking. He has cheret. We have to be fearful of that cheret. So he took his cheret and put it into the door of the Besmedesh, as you enter. Alozon zin, the state of the Chere. The Oma, Vishi Yetze me Besmedesh, whoever shall leave the Besmedesh and stop study of Torah, you don't hear the Chere there, shall be killed with this Chere. They then began to take a census of Klal Yisroel, and they found Vulolotsu Amoretz from the north down to the far south, the Gerasvad Antiperes from east to west, Vulolotsu Tinek Vitinekis, Ish Vihisho. Shalom will be key in the Hilchus Tar. Unbelievable. But what's the concept of Noach's Cheret?
wanted to punish them, that anyone who leaves the Besmeders and doesn't study Torah will be killed. There's no such thing. Bikul Torah is a bikul of a mitzvah saseh. And there's no bikul mitzvah saseh that's chayav mishas bezdin. There's no such thing. I think that Chazal want to teach us something very, very deep, what we've been talking about. We know that every thought that strikes us, if we see it with our senses, it impresses us much more. We know, hein chayenu v'erech yomenu, but if we would have before us someone actually drawing the blood, oy, it's murder. Kishkiyohu noach chela deves hamedres. And he said, you see, Torah is your lifeblood. With that we shall succeed against all the plans of Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says, they all left their fields and their vineyards. All went to nothing. They had no interest in these things of this world. They went to the Besmeders. And in the Besmeders they saw the sword. It reminded them, if I leave this medrash, I'm killing myself. I don't need some hating there. I've done the job for him. If I stay in this medrash, there's no hell in the world that can overcome me. That's what he's going on there. Imagine how great we are. We're talking about faults. How we don't expend time properly. How we don't use time properly. But on the other hand, how great is a Jew? They who were on the threshold of destruction by Sanhedrin. Yes. They were able to rise to the occasion. When a Jew finally does feel what it's all about, how great can he become? From the depths of the pit, he can rise to the heights of the heavens. That's a Jew, that's a Ben-Yisrael. So my friends, if we will begin to realize what it's all about, we will begin to realize who we are and what we are. And we have a lot to be happy with and be proud of. Let us hope that as the new year approaches, we'll all be zeche to achieve v'chasina toivah under the guidance of Hashem Yisborach, in a year of the Ula Yeshua in all respects, when we will rise thereby to the heights that every Jew potentially possesses, but we never want to make use of this potential. Let us rise. Let us be worthy of God's mercy. And then, not only will we come out of the pit to the Eir of Rosh Hashanah, not only will we be zeiche to the Yeshua of Yom HaKippurim, but we will be zeiche to Zman Simchaseinu, to enjoy the happiness and the elation with the Almighty without a physical roof over our heads in the Sukkah Hashem Sholik. In Hail of Yom HaKippurim. Why are you not